It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain.
Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter, and I'm glad that you're with us today. It's Friday. Fridays are always good days. If I could just get you to push back on the distractions, the thoughts that are ping-pong around in your head, and listen for what God is going to speak and say into your heart today. It may be my words, it may be Irv's words, but He is going to speak into your heart if we will just slow down and listen. And the Irv that I'm referring to is Irv Philpott, my good friend, my dear friend and brother, who is joining us for the third show of this three-part series. Welcome back, Irv.
So thankful to be here, Brother Sam.
I really appreciate it. We've had a good time because we enjoy doing these things together. These three shows, this is our third show and our final show in this three-part series about authentic Christian manhood. You can pick up the first show from August 2nd, the second show from August 9th. This will be August 16th. You can find those on our website. You can find it on our 721ministries.org, our podcast, as well as sermonaudio.com. Just follow us on 721ministries.org. And by the way, you will find other series that Irv Philpott and I have done together on our website. The Staying in Love series, the Dating series, the Busyness series, and the Body, Mind, and Spirit series. Irv, I'm glad you're with us. Our part one was what authentic Christian manhood looks like. Last week, how to become an authentic Christian man, and we talked about godly habits. And today, as we get through on into the program, it'll be passing it on with the idea of ceremony.
That's right. It's so important. As we've gone over our picture of what Christian manhood looks like, is that we also step up and be strong and courageous as to how we pass that on to the next generation.
Yes. And let us give a thank you again to Dr. Harry Reeder, a pastor in Birmingham, Alabama, who has given us a lot of the ideas on this. And then we're going to also move into, and we'll give you the shout out on a book that we have both read that has really helped us a lot. But let me just take a moment and say the reason we're compelled to do this, the reason we are so motivated, so energized by this, is that we look around at the men our age, and we don't see this engaged, purposeful, high-energy commitment to be a part of this, to represent and model authentic Christian manhood, as well as to train and pass it on.
That's right. And I think also, as we said before, that it's also for our own, for us.
Yes.
That we realize, we see this in ourselves, that in our flesh, our tendency is to go to the passive, is to say, well, I have other things. I'm busy right now.
Yeah. I just need some me time.
I need some me time.
I need to be lazy a little bit.
That love affair we have, the remote control.
Yes.
And so we want to bring ourselves back to this over and over and over again. Know what our target is. Mm-hmm. Again, to be strong and courageous in terms of our duties and responsibilities, and at the same time, sensitive and compassionate in terms of relationships, and understand that that's something we have to come back to over and over again.
Say that one more time, because that is so important.
That is our home base. That's where we're coming from here. That's what we're trying to get across and to express, is that this is tough work, and that our Heavenly Father is calling out to us. It's a call from heaven to be, as Christian men, strong and courageous to do our duties and responsibilities, and at the same time, sensitive and compassionate in terms of our relationships.
Listen to what the Holy Spirit says through Paul in 1 Corinthians 16:13. I want you to just have these words, strong and courageous and sensitive and compassionate, echoing in your mind when you hear this. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. That is verse 13. Strong and courageous. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And verse 14, Irv.
Do everything in love.
Everything in love. See, men, And ladies, as you listen to these ideas that we're talking about, we know that this is what you want. So, men, this is what your wives want. This is what your children, your daughters need you for this. Your sons need you for this. You want to be the godliest man your family knows. When your children are asked in the youth group, who's the godliest man that they know, you want them to think of you first. If someone asks your wife in a woman's Bible study or in some discussion, do you know any godly men, which probably could be a sarcastic question given what we see around us today, you want your wife to either say it or certainly think it, my husband's the godliest man I know. Not that you're perfect, certainly not that you don't make mistakes, but you know, the Holy Spirit through Peter in 1 Peter 4:8 says, love covers a multitude of sins. So men, when you are that authentic Christian man, flawed, not perfect, making mistakes, but when you are the godliest man your family knows, then that covers a multitude of mistakes that you will make.
That's right.
That we make.
That's right. You're glorifying your Heavenly Father, which means to accurately reveal Him. Mm. And if you think about that word picture we've given you of a heart, the heart of a lion,
yes,
and the touch of a lamb. Mm. Sounds like Jesus to me.
Yes.
And when you lead your family that way, when you are that servant leader, you show that kind of balance, everyone will want to follow.
Yes, balance. And that is a key word, because we are not talking about being a drill sergeant, men. We are not talking about you being the type of coach or CEO that bangs his hand on the table, his fist on the table, and bosses everyone around. We are not talking about being a spiritual dictator. We're certainly not talking about being Rambo. But we're also not talking about being Adam, who was passive. Say that balance, tell us, Irv, what Satan wants in these.
Well, again, you remember that Satan loves extremes. So he looks at this picture that our Heavenly Father's laid out for us of strong and courageous, balanced against sensitive, compassionate. And Satan says, well, let's just be tough. Mm-hmm. Let's just be hardline. Mm-hmm. Let's just be, as you say, the spiritual dictator and have to be always right. Mm-hmm. But that you don't let him run you in that direction. Remember, our God is a God of balance, and he's balancing that against that being sensitive and compassionate. But again, be careful of Satan wanting to rush you into that direction, mm-hmm. which
yes.
almost sounds like, as we say, you just check out. You're no longer engaged. You just sort of phone it in.
You're not leading.
At all. You're not engaged.
No, and as we said in the last show, you're not being the point man for your family. You're not being the point man who is providing the priest, the protector, when you are being passive.
That's right. And that's so important. Again, we want to give that word picture specifically of what that looks like to be strong and courageous in your home. And that is, as Sam said, those four P's, provider, protector, point man, and priest, that you are providing for your family, that you're their protector, that you're their point man, Sam. And you had something you wanted to share on.
Yeah, and you know, being the provider is what comes natural to us. That's easy. Being a protector, that really does come somewhat naturally to us, but we get very lazy when it comes to being the point man and the priest. We get very lazy and passive. We have, in the last 6 months in my family, we have sold my elderly mother's home. I have three sisters who are so sharp and so competent and could do anything better than I can do it, but I took the lead, the point man, to truly shield my mother and my sisters from having to deal with all the mess and aggravation and the anxiety that goes with selling a house, especially an old house that has a lot of repairs that need to be done. They could have done it, but I'm the point man for my sisters and my mother. We sold my wife's beach house that she owned before we got married. It's her beach house, and there were a lot of aggravating things that went along with getting that house sold, Irv. You heard me talk about them, but I took the point for her to shield her, to protect her from having to deal with all those aggravations, because I'm the man.
You're the lightning rod.
I'm the lightning rod. I mm-hmm. stepped out and said, I'll do that. So when it came to a tough negotiation, I handled it. And when it came to delivering bad news to someone, I handled it. And when it came to getting the repairs done, I handled it, because I want to be the point man. And then when it comes to being the priest, Irv, you're not talking about putting your robe on.
That's right.
Not talking about putting a pointed hat on.
That's right. And you want to be sure here that you do encourage everyone to be a part, and you encourage them to come to the table and bring things to the table and share. That's engaging those things is a great part of that being the spiritual leader. But you do want to make sure it happens.
Yeah, and if you do not make sure it happens,
it won't.
It won't.
You have to be focused and intentional with it. We, again, as Brother Sam says, we don't drift into holiness, we'll drift into sin.
Yes.
So you've got to be specific on that. Make sure you're being the priest in the home, that you're making sure that the Word of God is there, and that the children are being raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord.
Yes.
That's being strong and courageous.
That's being strong and courageous. And then when it comes to the sensitive and compassionate, you know, we heard a story about a young girl who had been abused at home, terrible home situation, found herself going to a youth group, which she had no interest in anything that this youth leader was talking about, God as your Heavenly Father, because she had no model for that whatsoever, other than just entirely negative and threatening and terrible. But one night, she saw the youth leader, the youth pastor, out in the parking lot, opening the door for his wife, and tenderly looking after her as she got into the door. And in that moment, she saw a sensitive and compassionate man, something she had never seen.
Yeah, it really is startling to folks when they see it. And we're getting ready to talk about passing it on to the next generation, which we'll encourage you so strongly, gentlemen, to do that. I have a 21-year-old son, one that just turned 21. And we recently received a videotape of some of his friends thanking or talking about Bubba and his walk mm-hmm. with the Lord at 21.
And who he is.
It just unbelievable to me, and what a gift, is one young lady saw this same thing you're speaking of when she said of my 21-year-old son, "Thank you, Bubba, for modeling for me how a young man should treat a young lady," because he's courting her friend. Mm. So it is that startling when we see it.
Yes.
And we want to encourage you, men. You'll think they're not listening, but they are.
And you'll think they're not watching, but they are. When it comes to sensitive, compassionate, just by the way, I open the door for all the girls in my life. I have three daughters. I have a wife and my mother. I'm opening the door for them. And sometimes I have to kind of awkwardly get over on the side to open the door, but I want to model that for them so that they will seek that out in the husbands when they get to that point in their lives. The primary thing to keep in mind, the attribute of sensitive compassion, is being engaged.
That's right. And that is so important also, Sam, with both our wives and children. We call that check-ins. Mm. Very critical that throughout the day or throughout the week, you have at least one of these, if not more, where you come to them and you ask them those four questions.
Tell us the four questions.
What's going on? Anything we need to talk about? How am I doing as a dad? Anything else we need to talk about? Mm. This way you're checking in with them. You got that icebreaker question of what's going on, where you try to elicit from them sort of where they are. You know, anything they want to share with you at that time. You might even ask, is there anything I could pray for you specifically at this time? Then you have to get real tough and put your hard hat on when you ask how I'm doing as a dad, because you might get an answer there. Or if you're with your wife.
Wait a minute, we don't have to ask that question, do we?
Yeah.
Well, how am I doing as a husband?
That's right. That's right. Or even maybe more telling, do you feel loved?
Mm.
These are the questions that will check in. And then that last question, did you lie to me? Did you hold something back?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else we need to talk about? This is being sensitive and compassionate. If you don't, it'll just be news, weather, and sports.
Yes.
It's so easy that it flows towards that. You've got to elicit these conversations. You've got to try to find those teachable moments, and those questions will do it.
And you, Irv, this is part of what we talked about in the second show, developing godly habits. Things that seem at first to be mechanical or maybe to be contrived or something that you have to make a little note to remind yourself to do, but then it becomes natural and it becomes a part of you. It becomes part of your DNA, which is really what we're after here, for this to become a part of your DNA. Irv and I both are very proactive about love notes and letters of blessings. We are very proactive about being sure that our sons, our wives, our daughters, hear from us through little written notes how proud we are of them and how much we love them.
Apart from their performance.
Apart from their performance. Because most men are very happy to say how proud they are of someone in their lives, their sons, their daughters, their wives, when they've done something, when they've performed well. But we, you know, we leave these little love notes around. It becomes kind of a fun little game. I hide them from my wife so that she won't see them until possibly the next day. I'll slip them into her makeup bag.
That's right.
Or in a drawer where she keeps some one of those other thousand things she uses in the right. bathroom.
And just think for a moment, gentlemen, when you think about this, how that answers their question for them. Yes, you are beautiful. Yes, you are worthy of desire. Yes, you are worth fighting for. I'm telling you, gentlemen, that'll change your marriage.
And Irv, you remind me of those three questions that every female is asking always. But there's also three questions that every son is asking.
There's no doubt. And both the daughters and the sons, they have to have that blessing of the father. A young man needs to know that, yes, he's the man. He needs to know he's got what it takes. He needs to know that he can be the hero. And that's you speaking into him, and it's absolutely critical. They cannot make it without it.
And even though they may not appear to hear it, or it may not appear to matter to them, sons or daughters, even though they may roll their eyes, which we get from time to time, it matters to them. You cannot overdo it. And as Irv said, the blessing of the father, now mothers, wives, ladies, we're not discounting you. You are incredibly important. We're just hammering on the men because you're already good at this. Mm-hmm. The men are the ones that need to hear this from us.
That's right.
Okay, today's show, how to pass it on. And we put in this as a category, ceremonies. And we got a lot of this from a book called Raising a Modern Day Knight by Robert Lewis. Raising a Modern Day Knight by Robert Lewis. And in this book, Irv, something that your sons have heard 1,000 times from you, as they have all these other things, three things: accept responsibility.
Yes. This picture, this word picture that Robert Lewis gives us, really fits right along with our strong and courageous in terms of our duties and responsibilities, at the same time sensitive and compassionate in terms of relationships. Number one, Mr. Lewis talks about accepting responsibility. Number two, he talks about rejecting passivity. Mm. Number three, he talks about leading courageously. And really, all three of those are about being strong and courageous in your family. And these, again, as we've said, when it says accept responsibility and reject passivity, what we have to watch out for is that laziness that comes
yes.
in, that it's easier for us just to pass it off. But we've got to be the ones to step up and lead courageously.
Yes.
And then the fourth part that he speaks of is that as a Christian man, you must remember that just because you do all of this doesn't mean you're going to get an attaboy.
Mm.
It doesn't mean you're going to get a pat on the back or everything's going to work out just perfectly. What you're doing is you're answering the call from heaven. And what you want to know as number four is you're expecting the greater reward, which is the reward from your heavenly Father when he says, well done, good and faithful servant.
You're talking about an eternal perspective.
Absolutely. That again, that's what's so critical, is to understand that your attaboy or Heavenly Father on Judgment Day.
Yes. Oh. So accept responsibility, reject passivity, lead courageously, and expect the greater reward, God's reward. That is, you're right, Irv, that is another word picture of the authentic Christian manhood.
Yes, sir.
That just helps paint a picture for us. Ceremony. I learned this years ago when I was involved with the youth group, the high schoolers at our church, and our youth leader said, we were doing a closing ceremony for the year. It was the end of the school year, and the seniors were graduating, and we did this ceremony that went long into the night, or into the early hours of the morning. But I remember him looking at me and saying, Sam, people need ceremony. People need ceremony. It closes one chapter, it starts another. We did it with the youth group. This is one of the reasons we have weddings, and we don't just show up at the Justice of the Peace. This is why we have funerals.
That's right.
People need ceremony.
It's so very important, and we've lost so much of this in the society we live in now. 100 years ago, when it was an agrarian society, the father was at home. He was doing these kind of things on a daily basis, speaking into his son, and they had built in these ceremonies. But we've lost that, and this is a call, gentlemen, back again from your Heavenly Father to ceremony, to try to help your son to understand when he does, as Brother says, Sam says, moves from one chapter to another, to a new season of life. It's absolutely vital.
We're going to break it down into four categories, which we got from the book Raising a Modern Day Knight, and they correspond with these pretty significant times in our lives. The first one in the book, he calls it the squire ceremony. That's around 12 or 13, plus or minus.
That's right. And again, no hard and fast rules here, gentlemen, but this is just a good framework you can have to think through. But you know the time I'm talking about. It's that great transition at the start of adolescence when a boy's body wreaks havoc with his mind. Mm. This is a time that you need to take him to the side. You need to have some of those difficult talks with him, some of those talks that, quite frankly, if you've been speaking into him through his lifetime about strong and courageous and sensitive and compassionate, they'll be much easier talks.
Yes.
But you will have that dialogue. You'll have that ability to speak into him. You'll talk openly about sex. You'll talk about what's going on with his body, how he's being affected by that. Now, I have found that with my two sons that this is best done just he and I. Mm. We, in fact, did some preparation work by doing some materials that Dr. James Dobson had given us about adolescence. We studied those over a few weeks, and then we had a night away, a steak night, a night out. We went to a real nice steakhouse. You know, he got the biggest steak he'd ever had before in his life. And we sat there and we talked through these things one evening. And I discussed with him that at this point, you know, he was becoming a young man, and that he would have other duties and responsibilities now, or he would be held to a higher standard at this point as entering into the squire stage. In other words, every morning, no excuses. Your bed's made up. First thing,
mm-hmm.
your room is clean. You take out the trash. You have these responsibilities and duties at your school to be your very best, your utmost for his highest, your best for his glory in everything that you do. And then on the sensitive and compassionate side, we would then talk about the fact that his mother needs caring from him. Mm-hmm. His sisters need caring from him. As you mentioned, he needs to open the door for them. Mm-hmm. They get off the elevator first. Mm-hmm. He makes sure that they are taken care of before he sees to his own needs. So again, you get that picture, and once again, you're putting into him that balance of strength, strong and courageous, and sensitive and compassionate at this young age.
And things that will matter in his life significantly later. Now, let me throw in here real quickly. Expect the unexpected when you do this, man. It's a process. It's not well-defined. It's just do something. Get out there and try, because it will matter to them. It will matter to your sons. They may roll their eyes at the time. They may act like they don't want to do it. Trust us. We've seen it over and over. It will matter to them. Okay, now the second phase. They're graduating from high school, college.
Yes, this is an absolutely critical time. As Brother Sam has been a part of both of my sons going off to college experience, an evening out. You can even take a weekend and do this. You want to get alone with your son and a couple of other men, and you want to talk with them about college and about, again, at this point, a young man experiences unbridled freedom that he's never had before, but with great privilege comes great responsibility.
Yes.
He must understand that at this point you're expecting him to make wise choices as he moves forward. You and your friends might want to share successes from your college life and failures.
And we did that.
And
and I sat in with your sons, and we've done this with our friend Covey down in Columbia with his sons. We talked about the things that we were transparent about, the things that we'd done well and the things we'd done poorly.
Absolutely. That's so critical that they feel that and they understand that and that they realize that in some sense, youth is ending here and they're becoming much more of a man.
And we're not going to treat them like boys anymore, that they are going to move more into the peer level with us as they move to college. Then we move to the third, college graduation.
Yes, and you know, this is when a man must face the world and begin to provide for himself. It's a time again that now that he becomes a knight. Oftentimes, and Sam, you mentioned that this is a time you might want to give a gift of some sort, perhaps a ring, something to commemorate that passing from college life into a career.
Yes, because now is the time for your sons to reject passivity, accept responsibility, and start to lead courageously. Up until then, it's been something just that they sort of did it within their family as training, but now it becomes real. They're graduated from college, and again, they need ceremony. And to have men sit in with them and open up and talk about these things is so important. Now, then the last stage is marriage. And you and I have done this with your oldest son, Beau, before he got married. We sat down with him, went through another ceremony.
That's right. And we also did that from my son-in-law as well. It's when a man assumes responsibility for a wife and the leadership of a family. And we celebrated that by giving a family crest. Something for them to hang on the wall to remind themselves of these principles, that they would move forward and they would be strong and courageous in their duties and responsibilities with this new family, and they would be sensitive and compassionate in this relationship they're moving into.
And that this vow that they will be making is the most significant vow aside from their relationship with their Heavenly Father through Jesus. The promise that they will now pursue manhood for a lifetime.
Yes, these four ceremonies are absolutely critical. They help the young man to move into that next phase. What we want to encourage you here is be persistent. Do not give up. Never stop. As Sam said, you'll think they're not listening, but they are.
And you'll think it doesn't matter, but it does. And trust us, you may be met with rolled eyes and I don't have time to do this, but you do it, man. Just do something. It's a process. It's not perfect. Just do something for your sons, your grandsons, the men that are going to marry your daughters, your nephews, whoever is in your sphere of influence. You want to be a spiritual leader. Irv, as we conclude this three-part series, give us that definition of authentic Christian manhood again, strong and courageous.
Yes, we want them to stand on our shoulders and see further than we ever did, to be strong and courageous in terms of their duties and responsibilities, and at the same time, sensitive and compassionate in what matters most, relationships.
Men, may you learn to live and breathe, all of us together, this authentic Christian manhood. It's what you're designed for. It's what your Heavenly Father wants for you. I'm Sam Hunter. This is 721 Live. So long. God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.
Whenever God shines a light on me, open up my eyes so I can see. When I look up in the darkest night, I know everything is going to be all right.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Talk, His Radio Network, or the Radio Training Network.